Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. It is finally NFL draft day. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Emily Proud from News 2. Emily, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing great. Woke up with a little jolt of energy this morning. It is officially here.
We've finally gotten past mock draft season, although, Joe, I guess I shouldn't say that. You just came out with mock draft today. So,
yeah, actually, this is kind of like the Super Bowl of mock draft season, isn't it?
It's the big day of mock draft.
And then tomorrow's opening day of 2023 mock draft season. So,
Emily, is the Titans right now scheduled to pick at number 26 tonight in the first round? If you're John Robinson, what are you kind of looking at as you head into this draft as the biggest needs for your group and where do you think the Titans ultimately could go tonight at number 26 overall?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm John Robinson, I honestly don't know what I'm going to do tonight. That's the joys of picking so deep into the first round. It's a fifth straight draft that they will be selecting in the second half of the first round, so that kind of adds some intrigue, I think, for John Robinson and for everybody else paying attention. But I would probably lean towards taking a safer option, which would be offensive line. I view the wide receiver position as the fun option, but I think I got to go a little bit safer just with all the, you know, the guys that they've lost this year, not just at the tackle position, but losing your right guard and Roger Saffold. But I am leaning, if the draft board falls in the way that I would like it to, I would lean towards offensive tackle tonight.
What would your shock level be? And also, how about approval level be, Emily, if they go quarterback?
I don't know about approval necessarily because it's so dependent on who it is. I do think the shock level would be pretty high just because I see, you know, them drafting a quarterback that's probably not going to play at all for you, ideally, I think, this upcoming season, unless something happens to Ryan Tannehill. Although I know Ryan Tannehill haters would like to see whoever this quarterback is start this upcoming season. I just feel like the Titans are so close. They're in this quote-unquote window that I think is surrounding the health of Derrick Henry, that I want a player that makes a little bit more of an impact, especially considering that if they take a quarterback at 26, they don't draft again until the third round since they don't have a second rounder. So I just feel like if they take a quarterback, it's a guy that they truly believe in that falls to them at 26, and in my estimation, it's a luxury.
Well, I want to follow up on the Ryan Tannehill haters guy. I think it's always interesting. I mean, all of us in, you know, the media space, and we interact with a lot of fans, but I'm sometimes maybe overly reliant on social media to tell me what a fan base thinks, you know? I mean, I try to avoid that, but just from your perspective, Emily, for the last 3 months or so, like, How big do you think that group is? The Tannehill haters, anyone but Tannehill, get them out of town, et cetera, et cetera.
Don't you wish we could do some sort of like politician approval rating? Because yeah, I'm like,
we need polling. Yes,
exactly. You know, but the Twitter mob is terrifying, and so if you just go based off of Twitter, you think, well, everybody hates Ryan Tannehill. Nobody likes Ryan Tannehill. But as you said, Joe, Twitter is not real life. But thankfully, with the job that I have at a local news station, we also deal a lot on Facebook. And I know this is a crazy statement, but they're actually nicer on Facebook when it comes to Ryan Tannehill. I know sometimes Facebook can be a scary place as well. But I think it's honestly closer to split more than people think it is. I think that the angry people are loud. Some of them have microphones. But I do think that the people that are okay with Ryan Tannehill are more measured in looking around at the landscape of quarterbacks and realizing the grass is not always greener, which I know is not a fun argument for your quarterback, but is one that I think applies here. And ultimately, you look, I mean, if Jared Goff and Jimmy G can make it to a Super Bowl, why can't Ryan Tannehill with a good team around him?
Emily Proud from News 2 on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Emily, what do you make of the A.J. Brown situation? Obviously, he's been active on social media, and there's a ton of wide receiver movement this offseason in the NFL. What do you think of his next contract, what that could look like, and is there any chance in your mind, as some Titans fans have thrown out there, that maybe he gets traded tonight at the NFL draft?
I don't see that. I mean, this is a guy that not only do they love to have on their football team in terms of playing and what he does on the field when healthy, but I think that this is also somebody that Mike Vrabel is extremely close with, somebody that John Robinson is extremely close with. I think they view the future of the Titans, when they view it, they see A.J. Brown as a part of it. You see the way that he has stepped up in terms of leadership. The day after the season ended, the only offensive player to come speak was A.J. Brown. He spoke on behalf of that offensive performance. I think they view him in their long-term plans, and so I would be shocked if anything happens this week when it comes to A.J. Brown. That also goes along with a potential contract extension. You look at what the Titans have done over the last few years and John Robinson, and he tends to give those extensions later in the summer, closer to training camp, and so I think cooler heads will prevail. Things will calm down just a little bit during draft week, and then ultimately they'll get something done later this summer.
Well, on receivers, is there anyone in particular in this draft, Emily, who intrigues you or who you think might be a particularly good fit? I mean, I guess someone realistic that the Titans could land.
Yeah, Garrett Wilson's great. that would certainly be nice. No, I think that I'm very drawn to Treylon Burks just with the, comp to A.J. Brown. I think you can have more A.J. Brown. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that he is the total Titan in terms of his energy. I know it's often been brought up that he hunts wild boar with his knife and dogs, which I think is just a fun quality to have in a football player and somebody that seems to fit the Titans in terms of, that aggressive energy. They tend to like the bigger receivers. Also, if he hunts wild boar, something tells me he's an okay blocker, which is something that's important from the wide receiver position to the or scary. I mean, I wouldn't want to get blocked by that guy.
No.
But it signals to me that this is the type of receiver that they want. I know Jahan Dotson is a guy that's been mocked to them a lot. I love him as a wide receiver. I think he'd be great in the slot. I think he can stretch the field for the Titans, which is something that they badly need. But he's smaller, which, again, is not the prototypical Titans receiver. And ultimately, it would be great to have a fun weapon like that, but this offense starts with running the football, and it just doesn't fit in that regard in terms of having him block and not be involved in the passing game, but help in other ways. So I think the fun thing about this draft class is even if they don't end up getting a wide receiver in the first round, this year is so deep because of the COVID year. So many of these guys are older, they're more experienced, and so I think you can still get a really good guy later in the draft.
Emily, what are you most intrigued about in this draft tonight? It could be the Titans, it could be another team, the quarterbacks. What kind of stands out as to what you're looking for tonight in the first round?
Well, the best part of the first round, in my opinion, are trades. I love trades. I think that's exciting, and I think there'll be a few more than there have been in the past, just with eight teams on the outside looking in. There's going to be some teams to trade up into the first round because, again, there's eight teams that don't have a first-round pick, and so some of them might be sitting in Vegas feeling left out and want to trade in. I think we can rule out the Rams as one of those teams, though, but I do think that it'll be exciting to see who decides to trade in. There's a lot of teams with multiple first-round picks. I know the Jets and the Giants in particular would love to spread those out a little bit. But I guess I'll call my shot here. I think more trades are going to go down in the second half of the first round. I think teams seem to be less inclined to trade early because there aren't a ton of sure things. And I would say that the best excuse for trading up early in the first round is to draft a quarterback. And obviously that's a big question mark this year. So I think there could be some trade movement in the second half of the first round tonight.
All right, I want to switch gears and just get your thoughts, Emily, on the Preds. UC Saros, we know for sure that he's out for the rest of the regular season. No word. Unfortunately, the NHL gives very little injury information, but what do you think about the Preds' chances here moving forward, and what would you do in goal?
I mean, I think even with UC Saros healthy, you weren't feeling great about the state of the Predators down the stretch here and into the postseason. It seemed like they were kind of limping to get there, and UC Saros had played so many minutes. I mean, well over double what he typically does in a season. And obviously, the first year without Pecorino, that was to be expected. I mean, from a just pure fun and viewership standpoint, I mean, I think you got to try Connor Ingram and see what the heck happens there, because you don't know. I feel like the wild card is not just exciting for fans, but also could be daunting for upcoming opponents. And it could be, you know, maybe a little spark, who knows. But ultimately, I think Predators fans out there are hoping and wishing and praying that that UC Saros is healthy, because he's your best shot in making some sort of run here in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yep, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Emily Proud from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Emily, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and have fun watching the draft tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys, and good luck getting sleep tonight. I feel bad for our early morning folks when you got a late round. I'll talk to my people at ABC, because in News 2, we're partnership with them. I'll tell them to make it fast.
Please do. Speed them up a little bit.
Exactly. We like 3 minutes between picks. Wouldn't that be awesome?
It's the first round. You should know what you're doing at this point.
Thank you,
Emily.
Thanks, Emily.
We appreciate it. I'm hoping, like, really badly. This happens a lot in the NBA draft, which I just hate, which they've tried to clamp down on a little bit. I don't need spoilers out there. I appreciate Woj and all these guys and Schefter. I don't need you tweeting out picks before they're announced.
Yeah, that I remember the first year.
I guess I could just get off Twitter, but yeah.
Yeah, right. The first year, whenever that was, it was Woj in the NBA draft. Whatever year that was, probably 2012, right,
like
or something. It was just like, oh, my gosh. It's like, oh, it's kind of cool to be on Twitter and know all these, but also, like, the draft's not nearly as fun now.
The best is when he's in an interview and they're talking to him on the broadcast, and then he gets a phone call, and he's just like, I got to go.
Yeah, we'll see you later.
But I agree. It seems like with the NFL, it's not like Schefter doesn't really – those guys don't really get into that, right? I mean, they're going to do whatever the agents tell them to do. but – yeah, it's more fun when we don't know, right?
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans and the draft on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Preds coach John Hines coming up at 8:30 as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Pro Golf is coming to Nashville this May with the Simmons Bank Open. Text the keyword golf now to 615-737-1025 for a chance to win a weekend pass for four to enjoy the event in style, including food and drinks, plus a Predators gift pack, including polo shirts, golf balls, and umbrella. Text golf now to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. John Hines, Preds head coach, coming up at 8:30. We'll look ahead to the Predators and the Avalanche coming up tonight. Potentially a first-round preview for the Nashville Predators as well. So looking forward to that. Thanks to Emily Proud for joining us in the last segment. It is going to be interesting tonight to see what the Titans do at number 26. Lots of different opinions out there. I got a texter on the text line says, Treylon Burks ran a 4.55 and tight end Trey McBride ran a 4.54. If you're looking for a pass catcher at pick number one, why not Trey McBride? I wouldn't put everything into just the 40 time.
Trey McBride is, I mean, I think he's talented.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can get him.
You're not going first round with Trey McBride,
gosh,
though.
No. No. Definitely. He's not a first round pick. So that's where, you know, thinking position can really hurt you.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, you know. There's some level of that in every draft where it's like, well, we got to have a Flynn LeBlanc. This guy's a mid-second round guy, but, you know, go there. Some GMs stick faithfully to best on the board. So if the Titans sit there and, you know, they're sitting there at 26 and both those guards are gone and all those receivers are gone and they take, like I said earlier, you know, they take Logan Hall. He's the best guy on the board. He's D tackle from Houston. A lot of people are going to be like, huh? But that would be a best available. And honestly, like something like that wouldn't be the worst thing. I think that'd be better than reaching for, you know, especially like a second round receiver or something like that. Now, if Christian Watson was there, I think I would take him over Jahan Dotson. And I know that I'm directly at odds with Dane Brugler, friend of the show, on that. But that's just me.
As you brought up, I think the worst-case scenario is both the guards are gone at 26 and maybe a guy like Burks is gone as well. Look, I have no idea how the Titans have rated these people. So, I mean, they very well could like Jahan Dotson more than they like Treylon Burks. I have no clue.
Absolutely.
What the Titans' grades are and what their board looks like. But the worst case scenario tonight is you're at 26. Your guys that you really want have just gone right before you, and nobody really wants to trade up, or at least offers you enough to trade up that you're happy with, and you're stuck at 26, picking somebody that you'd probably rather not have to pick. That's what you don't want to have happen tonight if you're John Robinson.
Yeah. And, you know, if those guys all go, that's where you're really hoping someone, doesn't someone want this 26? Come on, get in there. Get in there, Lions. Lions, you better move up from 32.
Yeah.
Of course, that's, you know, you want to, yeah. I mean, you know, you want to trade back and add picks if you can. It's just, I think there's going to be someone who probably moves somewhere late, but is it going to be this Titan spot? I mean, you can't plan for that.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Dennis texting in says, will the Titans grab a tight end in this year's draft? We talked a lot about that last year as a need for the Titans heading into the draft at tight end. They did not draft a tight end last year. My guess is yes, they do at some point this year, but I'm interested to see exactly where that would be in the draft and the landscape of things, not having a second-round pick.
Yeah, I think they absolutely will. I'll be very surprised. But remember last year, like after day two, I'm trying to think, after day two, they still hadn't taken a tight end, they hadn't taken a receiver, and certainly those two. And I thought there was one other thing I thought they would take that they hadn't yet. You know, they'd gone like Monty Rice. Like, what? You know? But they, you know, Monty Rice to them was their best available. And then, of course, eventually on the third day, they traded up to get Des Fitzpatrick. But never drafting a tight end. I think last year that there were a couple that maybe they would have that went right before him. In fact, at least one team moved right in front of them, if not twice last year, if I recall that correctly. But I think for sure that they will get a tight end. I mean, you have to. You know, Austin Hooper, good signing. Jeff Swaim, fine. You got to have a young tight end to develop in this offense. And there's some good middle round options.
Wayne from Spring Hill texting in says, I think the Titans will end up not picking because they'll run out of time. This is coming from Wayne from Spring Hill. Clock expires and there's no pick for the Titans. They just lose it.
Then it's okay to scream at J-Rob.
Yes.
Be very, very mad at J-Rob.
Guys, we just had a caller that said, wouldn't it be really cool if 24 to 48 hours after the draft, all the GMs had to show their draft boards?
Oh, gosh.
That would be awesome.
That would be sweet.
It'll never happen, but
it'd be pretty cool.
Be great.
Meanwhile, someone on the text line just said, bleep the draft. Thank you for weighing in.
I've seen a lot of this. There's a lot of Titans fans, I think, that are... We talked about this a few days ago. Maybe a little checked out of the draft.
Compared to normal.
Compared to normal, yes.
I mean, if you're a Titans and a Preds fan, okay, even if you're quote-unquote out in this draft, you can't tell me that you don't know way more about this draft and that you won't end up, well, there's no choice but to watch more because there's hours and hours and hours of coverage wall-to-wall in the NFL draft and not in the NHL or any other draft. I mean, even the NBA basically is like 2 hours one night in June and leave it there, you know? So even if you're a fan of both teams, you still are way more informed on and into this draft than the other one.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, there's also Preds draft a guy in the first round this year. He'll play, what, 3 years maybe?
Right.
4 years?
No, yeah. No, I mean, well, yeah, and that's the thing with baseball too.
Yeah.
Right, is like you know that the clock is just it's a different deal in the NFL and NBA, but the NFL is just it's just a different thing altogether. I mean, it's incredible, like what this has become, and including what we saw in Nashville 3 years ago, with what it's become as an event for fans.
Over or under on the ESPN broadcast tonight, 5.5 mentions of Kenny Pickett's hand size.
Oh, way over.
Way over?
Way over.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure, like, it's because once they get to him, like, yeah, it'll be hand-sized diarrhea, which sounds
his
really
hands
gross.
Are actually continuing to grow even as we speak. It's unbelievable. They grew from the combine to the pro day and now the draft. He's got hands as big as Shaquille O'Neal out there.
Yeah, it looks like Mickey Mouse hands with a big white glove. Like, freakishly large hands.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the draft on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Preds head coach John Hines. Looking forward to that conversation on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The NFL draft taking place. Taking your thoughts on that on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll have Preds head coach John Hines coming up here in just a few minutes. Vols head coach Tony Vitello coming up at 9 o'clock as well. So lots to get to today here on the program. Joe, big one for the Preds tonight. Dallas let a point get away. They're up 3-0 last night. After the second period against Arizona, one of those games where you feel like Stars probably should have closed that one out, and they did not. They lose in overtime last night, 4-3, so only 1 point. So that means the Stars are 1 point up right now on the Preds. So if the Preds get 3 out of their next 4 points, they will be wild card number one.
Yep, and I think that's worthwhile. And very surprising, I guess, that Dallas let that happen. Arizona is on a
They're feeling dangerous, man.
Yeah, so before, you know, if you're a Preds fan, just counting 2 points, tomorrow night in Arizona, hold off on that. They're enjoying their spoiler week.
They beat the Wild the other night, which has been very difficult to do lately, and then beat the Stars last night as well. So Arizona, one game left on the season. They're sitting and waiting for the Predators to come in tomorrow night, so we'll see what happens on that front. But first, the Preds have to take care of business tonight against Colorado. You know, Colorado's been struggling as of late. They won a big 5-3 win against St. Louis the other night as the Preds were taking on Calgary. So kind of a get-right game for the Avalanche there. Big win at home against the red-hot St. Louis Blues. So going to be a tough test tonight for the Predators and a potential first-round matchup as well as they take on the Colorado Avalanche. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Preds head coach John Hines. John, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing well. Beautiful morning here in Colorado. Just getting ready for the game tonight.
We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, John, first off, let's just start for the organization. 8 consecutive trips to the playoffs. You guys punched your ticket again the other night. You spoke about it a little bit after the game against Calgary, but what can you just kind of say about the journey to get to this point and clinch the playoff spot yet again here in Nashville?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a really strong season, I think, from our off season last year through into training camp and the regular season, of just having, I think, a group of guys that really understand, you know, how we need to play to be able to have success. And, you know, they've turned into a real true team where they compete hard for each other every night, and sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but you know that 80 games is a grind, and I think our guys certainly worked hard throughout the year, really committed to what it takes to be a team that can make the playoffs, and you know we certainly deserve to be in the situation that we're in.
John, well, we talked after the game. You know, that's one of those games that just you don't see a lot of those things all play out together at once in a game, and including, of course, your goaltender going off, not being able to put much weight on his leg, and now we know that he's out, UC Soros out for the rest of the regular season. What can you tell us about UC? Do you think that there's a chance you could have him for the postseason?
Right now, Juice is, I mean, he's still getting evaluated basically on how we're going to, you know, what his time frame is going to be. We're hopeful, but you know, I think at this point in time, it's important for him to get a little bit of rest, let the things settle down, and then you know see where he goes from here over the next few days.
So is the plan for Riddick to go tonight against Colorado? Are you going to split him and Ingram the next couple of days? Have y'all figured out kind of what's going to happen on that regard yet?
Yes, we will split them. I think it's important for David for sure to get in and play again, and it's also going to be important, I think, for Connor Ingram to be able to come in. I mean, he played well when he was up here before. He's done really well in Milwaukee, but I think coming in and getting some game action versus some NHL shooters, NHL game speed, those types of things would be important for him too.
John, how important do you view, you know, these two games? I mean, I know I would imagine from a coaching perspective, no coach would be like, hey, we want to win these games because we'd rather play this opponent or that opponent. But, you know, these are – I mean, that will help dictate that. You have the rest versus, you know, trying to play your best hockey in these last two games too. So how are you approaching that and even thinking about, you know, ice time for some of your top players?
Yeah, you know, I think that the good thing is you know, we've played the last week some pretty, I think, playoff-style games. If you look at, you know, the Minnesota game and particularly the Calgary game, just the level of intensity that those games had to them were definitely a playoff feel. And obviously Calgary with a potential first-round matchup. Now we have Colorado tonight. I believe we'll have a couple days in between from the Arizona game to when the playoffs will start. So we'll certainly be able to have some rest there. I think right now we're looking at tonight where we want to come out and be able to play our best hockey. And you know, I think it's important to play, you know, play our guys and you know, have a little bit of a feel for Colorado. We haven't played them in a while. And then I think we'll evaluate what we'll do with Arizona after today's game.
So, John, obviously it's going to be, you know, either Colorado or Calgary in the first round for you guys. Is there a big difference stylistically in your mind? What do you think of those two potential matchups?
Well, both of them are, they are a little bit different. I think when you look at Calgary, you know, Calgary is built, I think, similar to us, where they're a pretty heavy forecheck team. I think you look at the makeup of their team and how they play. A lot of system similarities, but I also think that, you know, the physicality of the games and the mindset of their team is very similar. I think when you look at Colorado, they're a little bit different. You know, I think they have a little bit more, you know, size up front in their top end players, which presents a challenge, whether that's Kenan Rantanen and Landeskog, Kadri. You know, some of their high end star power are bigger, stronger, faster guys, which is, you know, I think presents different problems for us. And I think the mobility on the deep core, you know, obviously with Makar and Byram and some of these other guys that are really, really active, that, you know, they play such a fast-paced, up-and-down style game that presents some different challenges. I mean, both of them are obviously extremely good teams, but they do present different situations that we'll have to be aware of regardless of who we play.
If it is Calgary, John, I mean, it's pretty easy for anybody who watched the game the other night to see there's a little bit of dislike, you know, between these teams and some – I mean, I felt like Calgary was – maybe coming out and trying to establish physicality, knowing how physical you guys are. From a coaching perspective, how physical would that series be? And is that a series you would look at, like, maybe you need to even rein in some of that stuff and not let it get in the way of the hockey?
Yeah, you know, I think if it were to be Calgary, because you play them, you know, so recently in the makeup of the teams, and I think the makeup of the players on the teams, you know, there are some guys that do play that style of hockey naturally. So I think when you get in the playoff series, obviously the discipline is going to be important, and really staying focused where you want to be able to play physical and hard without taking penalties. I think the things that, you know, the things where you get into retaliation penalties, retaliatory penalties after the whistle, things like that, those are things that, you know, you have to make sure that in a playoff series, you're not allowing those things to get into your game.
Preds head coach John Hines on with us here on Robbie and Rexrode. And, John, obviously some lineup decisions to make for you guys as you move forward here. Tolvanen not in the lineup the other night against Calgary. How do you kind of view his season and what he could be for you guys as you move forward through the rest of this season here and into the playoffs as well?
No, I think Tolby, as we've talked with him, you know, he's a really young player, and he's come into the NHL, and he's added some things to his game that you need to have to be a regular guy. I think he's learned to, he plays hard, he's a willing skater. I think he's smart without the puck. He understands how to play without it and is committed to it. I think from an offensive perspective, it hasn't been at a level that he or we, you know, would expect it to be and believe he can, whether it's using a shot or finding opportunities to be able to make plays and things of that nature. But He's a really good young player. It hasn't gone for him, and now it's a situation where, you know, you get into the playoffs and the playoff series. You know, what is the value and the role of every player? What do they contribute to a line, to the team, maybe to the opposing team, what they bring? These are these lineup decisions you have to have. But I think Ellie's going to be a guy we're going to need. We're in constant communication with him about what needs to be better and what has been good with him, and he understands those things. And just the process of a young player getting developed in the National Hockey League.
On that same idea, you know, I think, John, some people forget Luke Cunningham is he's still a very young player as well. I mean, I think back to a year ago, I thought he was really a spark for you guys late and in that series against Carolina. What needs to happen, you know, to get him going? How do you feel about him going into the postseason?
Well, Luke brings a lot of things to the table. Now, you know, he plays with pace. He's a willing skater. He does kill some penalties. He plays physical. I think he understands that you can put him in the game in important situations. I think from an offensive perspective, you know, is just there's more opportunities for plays to be made. And right now I think he's, you know, he hasn't scored in the bed, and sometimes it's hard, like on some of these guys where they want to get points and expect to get points, and then sometimes when it doesn't happen, they play, you know, safe to not make a mistake. And it's really the challenge is trying to get them to understand that there are time and space, there are opportunities to be able to make plays, which is what we need. But Luke brings a lot to our lineup, and I think that's where he is. He's a young guy, and he's kind of going through a little bit of what I think Tolvi's going through, but there is some other attributes to his game that also, right now, we feel are a little bit ahead of Tolvi.
Well, John, we really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Good luck coming up tonight against Colorado, and really appreciate your time joining us here on the show all regular season long, and we'll talk to you in the playoffs.
All right, thanks, guys. I always enjoy talking with you. Appreciate all your hard work and coverage of the team. And have a great day, and we'll see you back in Nashville in a few days.
Sounds great. John Hines, Spreads head coach, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It is time for Preds Pick to Click as well, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, for your opportunity to guess a goal scorer for the Predators tonight against Colorado. If you get it right, you'll win tickets to an event coming up at Bridgestone Arena. One of the things I love about betting my favorite sports is that I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine prop bets from multiple games and now even multiple sports as well. It's called Same Game Parlay Plus, and you can only find them on FanDuel. You can combine NBA playoff player props you love with your favorite baseball home runs or your favorite goals scorers in hockey as well. So maybe you like Ja Morant over on points, and you like Philip Forsberg over on goals. You can take it any way you want to take it. If you don't want to build your own same game parlay, check out their popular same game parlay section where you can join the bets other users are jumping on. If you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code Rob to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. You can make every moment more and download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just use promo code Rob so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Preds in action tonight, taking on the Colorado Avalanche. Puck drop at 8 o'clock, pregame at 7 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And the standings in Preds Pick to Click are as such. We knew it was going to be a big week, and the listeners and Michelle Knezovic strike the other night. Listeners now sole possession of first place with 19 correct answers. Joe in second place with 18. Robbie with 16, Michelle now up to 13 correct answers in the competition. So, Joe, you've lost your lead.
Yeah.
Didn't Joe wager points, too? Remember, you're going to wager them?
Well, we don't allow that. I mean, I would. I'll do it right now.
But you lost, so then you lose the points.
Right, but I didn't, but we can't. We don't allow it.
With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Kenny from Spring Hill. Kenny, who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
I'm going with Forsberg tonight.
Philip Forsberg, the selection. Kenny, appreciate you calling in. Good luck.
Thank you.
Come on, Kenny.
Philip Forsberg, the selection from Kenny from Spring Hill.
Listen, we need Kenny to get a winner here. He's tried a bunch, and he flips between Forsberg and Matt Duchene, and it's always the opposite. So
is that right? Well, yeah, too bad. I want to beat the listeners. So hope it happens again to you, Kenny.
Well, Philip Forsberg, the selection from Kenny. I am up next in the competition. I'll go Matt Duchene. Matt Duchene in the selection. Forsberg, Duchene off the board. Joe Rexroad, you are next in the competition.
So I was last time. I should have been first this time.
That's how it works.
You're really struggling.
I'll figure this out by the end of the year, which is tomorrow.
Which is, yes.
Let's see. Although we're doing this in the playoffs, and they are in the playoffs.
They're in the playoffs.
So there's still time. Well, gosh. I'm not ready for this. Let's see. At Colorado, who's going to score?
There's basically
been
four guys scoring goals for 2 weeks.
You know, I know. You know, it's a Norris. Someone on the text line asked about like a Nate. You know, is this a Norris head to head showdown?
Don't do it.
Yossi, Kale McCarr. No, yeah, I'm going to take Yossi. I think Yossi's got to now. Kale McCarr is going to try to do some crazy like spin like both ways and then do a lacrosse goal, but.
Kale McCarr, Yossi fight at center ice.
Oh,
winner
there we
gets
go.
The Norris.
I think that's fair.
Maybe.
I think that's fair. Yeah, I'll take Yossi.
Forsberg, Duchene, Yossi off the board. Michelle Konezvik, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Well, Joe took my pick. Thank you, Rex Road. I am going to go with, I guess I'll go with the other player that I was going to pick, other than Yossi. Ryan Johansson.
Not very enthusiastic from
Michelle. No, not feeling too confident about the pick, honestly. I really believe Yossi's going to score tonight, so thank you, Rex Road.
Especially if the Avs do the flame strategy, which is
to clear the area
for him to shoot
like,
from the slot.
That guy hasn't done anything all year. Yeah. Just let him. Now, it was a pretty slick. Interference may not be the right word, but it may be. Pick play by
let's set a pick
by Johansson on that play. He took out basically half the team, just cleared the Red Sea. And Roman said, "Huh? That's like there can't be that many times this year where Roman Yossi's looked up. He's like, huh? There's like no one around me.
Yeah.
How about that?
I guess I'll score."
So Joe, we had John Hines on in the last segment and asked him about UC Soros, said that they were hopeful, still kind of sorting through the timeline for Soros, and asked about the playoffs, said hopeful. What did you make of John Hines and his response there from the Preds goaltender?
That was adequately vague. Hopeful. I mean, hopeful doesn't rule him out, but why would you rule him out, even if you know he's out? Hopeful doesn't make you think he's necessarily going to be in anytime soon. I don't know.
Doesn't sound great.
Yeah, I mean, he said hopeful, and he said something like all the things or something. Do we have the audio? Even though he just talked to us. I know, I'm sorry, Michelle. Michelle's like, shut up, dude. Sorry.
No, I got it. We'll find it.
Because he said something after hopeful.
Do we have the audio? Like, I know he just hung up the phone. But
did he say something about his small hands? I don't remember, but. By the way, Dennis says Small Hands Diarrhea sounds like a great band name, which I agree.
Well, maybe
emo
so.
Punk acid rap band.
Sounds like a Joe band that he would listen to.
I'd listen to Small Hands Diarrhea. Yeah, it didn't sound super upbeat, but it was, again, it's just the hockey.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, this needs to change, doesn't it? You have, like, status updates on guys in the playoffs, in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
I mean, I thought that like the gambling part of this would change some of that, but hockey, it really depends on who it is. Like there are some coaches that they don't care. They'll tell you exactly what's wrong. And then you have like some that, especially come playoff time, go Barry Trotz style and go, he has an on-the-body injury.
Yeah.
An injury takes place somewhere on his body.
I mean, look, I'd do the same thing, okay?
For
if,
sure.
If the league didn't make me Like, I mean, Vrabel dies a little bit inside every time that, you know, the injury report comes out every week. He hates that.
Yes.
But it's just the NFL. But, I just, you know, this is by far, of the pro leagues in this country, the most secretive when it comes to that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Or the least revealing, or whatever you want to call it. It's very frustrating, especially at times like this. But, you know, it just, without really even knowing, like, the if you said ankle, you know, it could be a terrible ankle. It could be, you know, I mean, you could have a torn ligament ankle, like you could have a high ankle sprain. I mean, stuff like that can still take a long time. But then I would still say, okay, there's a chance at some point. If they can extend it a little bit, there's a chance to get him at some point. But if it's a knee, then
yeah,
there just aren't many knee situations that are going to snap your finger and be fine in a week or two.
No. And, I mean, what you're – obviously you're fearful of that, I will admit, it did cross my mind the other night, is ACL. I mean, that's kind of the first thing I started thinking about. Now, I have no clue whether that's what they're looking at or not, but that is the worst case where it's not only is he out for the playoffs, but he could be out part of next season too.
We had some genius, you know, Twitter doctors who were like, yeah, look at that, and there is no way it's anything but an ACL.
I know.
Really?
It's like, okay.
Is that right? That's your diagnosis from the grainy footage. Okay. But it could be.
No, it could be. I have no clue what it is. But he did use the word, Hines did use the word hopeful. So maybe there's some hope.
But if it's, that's the thing, if it's an ACL tear, then he's done.
Oh, yeah.
Why would you not just announce that he's done?
Well, I don't know. That may not be what it is.
Would you choose as a team, even if you had a player had an ACL tear, is looking at months of rehab, would you choose as a team to be like, well, you know, we're hopeful. We'll see. I mean, I guess you can do that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, is that going to help you in any way?
I don't think so. Here's what John Hines had to say in the last segment when we asked him about the status of UC Soros.
Right now, Juice is, I mean, he's still getting evaluated basically on how we're going to, you know, what his time frame is going to be. We're hopeful, but you know, I think at this point in time, it's important for him to get a little bit of rest, let the things settle down, and then, you know, see where he goes from here over the next few days.
So that was John Hines saying, you know, get some rest, let the things settle down.
Did he say things or thing?
Things.
Let the things settle down. What does that mean? Multiple injuries. Breaking news.
Well, I think
UC Soros has multiple injuries.
That kind of tells me maybe some swelling involved, and let that kind of subside a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. But he said the things.
I don't know.
All the things. I thought there was something about things in there. See? You know what?
Call him back.
Jared?
John?
4 hours. I know it's the draft, but come on. What does it mean?
I don't know. We know this. He's not going to play tonight, and John Hines did confirm that Riddick and Ingram will split the next two games. So I don't know what order that is. My guess is it'll be Riddick tonight and Ingram tomorrow in Arizona, but John Hines did confirm that they will split the next two games.
And that way you can spring Ingram on them as a surprise next week for game one in Denver.
Yeah, maybe so. Or
just saying.
Riddick could go out there tonight and totally shut him down, and you're like, all right.
And if that's the case, then I'm even more going with Ingram because there's like you've used it all up. Thank you, David.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.